Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're keeping calm here amidst the coronavirus and getting out not just with politicians and state's attorneys and local elected leaders and also some university leaders, but Don Mohler, you can't get enough Arts Week. It's not even Arts Week. It's like Arts Month. It's like there's no bad time to be talking about museum and culture and places that, quite frankly, are very, very important, but as you know, shuttered for the most part during this, and we're trying to feature a bunch of these folks.
But what does this is Arts Week the sequel, or Arts Week 2. What does it say about our great city that there are so many terrific arts and cultural institutions that we couldn't do it all in one day or one week? We had to go into another week, and I'm really excited. I want to thank, again, all of our sponsors who make this possible. I mean, Baltimore Positive lives because of our sponsors, and that's Fadley's Downtown. You know, world-famous crab cakes and Esther Bouteille, the world-famous mac and cheese. My wife loves the coleslaw and the deviled eggs, so all kinds of great stuff at Fadley. So ship it directly to your house all over the United States. So want to do something for some friends out west who are sequestered, send them the crab cakes. They'll love you. They'll bring it curbside. Our good friends at State Fair in Catonsville, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and this new service they're providing for those of you who just a little skittish about going to a supermarket. They'll pack up a box of produce and protein, all fresh food, bring it right to your car. You'll have plenty to go for a couple of weeks, so take advantage of that. Our good friends at Mohler and Gary Realtor, Jeff Mohler, 410-746-1547. They're listing homes, they're selling homes, they're taking advantage of all the technology to keep the real estate market moving forward, and our buddies at KO Public Affairs, Damian O'Doherty, Steve Carney, Rick Abruzzi, the whole team there. We appreciate their help. So great things are happening. And Nestor, I'm going to have you. Oh, I also need, I'd be remiss that all of Arts Week happens because of Fronda Cohen and the great work that she's done putting these segments together. Fronda, former communications specialist in Baltimore County.
I just feel good that she's liking them all on social media, which means she must like the conversations we're having.
Well,
so.
And nobody loves the arts more than Fronda, more connected, more supportive of her work that she did for years with the Arts and Science Commission in Baltimore County. So we appreciate all of Fronda's efforts. But, Nestor, I know you know this next museum well, and you're eager to introduce our guest. And just commiserate about this museum.
Well, you and I had on a couple of gentlemen last year involved in Baltimore Homecoming, and one of the stops on Baltimore Homecoming right around my birthday. And if you remember the person making the pancakes of me and my wife, the little images, if you saw them out on social media, it was at the B&O Railroad Museum. It's actually my father-in-law's favorite place in Baltimore. So my father-in-law lives in Manchester, New Hampshire. When he comes to town, he always walks down the 901 West Pratt Street with the big circular roof. And it's been there a long, long time. Chris Holland joins us here. She is the director, executive director of the B&O Railroad Museum, and she usually gets up in front. I've never really introduced myself, so I apologize for that. There's always something going on. I've been there. We had Bill McCarthy on last week. Catholic Charities had their big event there a couple years ago. My wife and I came over. And so I apologize for never personally introducing myself, but I know my way to your museum and through the gift shop and the lobby and where the restrooms are and the big circle thing there and all the big trains you have there, and I've heard you tell the story, and I definitely want to give you a chance to tell everybody what's going on at the B&O Railroad Museum while we're in this little bit of a shutdown. So welcome in, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you, Nestor, and thank you, Don, and your father-in-law definitely has great taste. Let us know next time he's coming down, and we'll get him a ride up with the engineer.
You know what? He's a Civil War buff. He's a Vietnam veteran, and, Gettysburg, you know, all the things that when he found out his daughter was marrying a guy from Maryland, he's like, oh, well, you know, I'll never run out of things. Antietam, you know, he'll never run out of things to see down here. But he is always drawn to your museum. He never misses it when he comes. And so I never ask him, like, what do you love about it or why do you go back all the time? And I know you do the ride out and back, and the one day I was there, I didn't do it because I was caught up in business, which you transact. I mean, every time I'm there, I'm wearing something nice with a, you know, a tie on or something and getting to know people. You've brought a lot of people through your museum locally, maybe even more so than a lot of other of the museums around town that I wind up in. Maybe we just run in the same circles, but tell everybody what there is there and what draws people back and bring their kids. And Don's going to be bringing his grandkids down there when he's at a quarantine.
They love it there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the B&O Railroad Museum is the birthplace of American railroading. So if you come in to our museum, you can ride on the first mile of commercial railroad track ever laid in the country. You can see where the first stone was laid. You can sit in our beautiful 1884 roundhouse, Baldwin Roundhouse, which was where they did passenger locomotive repairs. You can stand where the very first telegraph message was ever received from the Library of Congress to the B&O's Mount Clair station, What Hath God Wrought? So, I mean, there is a true sense of place at the B&O. Plus, we have one of the most comprehensive 19th century collection of rolling stock in the country. So, you know, you can see segregation cars, actual segregation cars. You can see Pullman cars and understand the life of the Pullman porter. You can see the William Mason, which was said to have pulled the Lincoln funeral train. So social, cultural, economic impacts, history, story, art. I mean, there's really something for everybody.
Hey, Don, imagine you're running the city, running the state, and you're a politician. I know it's hard for you to do as a former county executive. But in 1825, saying, we're going to all come together and we're going to lay this track down and getting people to buy into that. Can you imagine that?
It's remarkable, and it's a remarkable story. And Chris, talk about there's so much going on there. Talk about when you look at who comes and who visits, where do visitors come from? Give us a sense. Take us sort of through a day when we're not in a pandemic and the museum is open. Tell us who's there, where folks are coming from.
So last year, we had visitors from all 50 states and 40 countries. So we really are a destination. We have a lot of people come to the B&O Museum that have come to Baltimore specifically for that reason. I mean, it's owned by Baltimore in that sense. I mean, I had a man a couple months ago who was in town from Australia. He only had an hour. He had come up from D.C. because he was determined to see the birthplace of American railroading. So we have a lot of Asian visitors as well because railroad museums are very important in Asia, and they have all of the high-speed rail. We have visitors. We have families. We have a ton of families that come in because we have, you know, lots of trains that kids can get into the actual engineer's seats and enjoy themselves. So you might be seeing a family. You might be seeing somebody who wants to meet our archivist and see some, you know, some of our documentation from literally back in the 1800s. So it really ranges. And we have our rail fans. We have people that want to see the engines and talk about the engines. And I think that's what I like, is I've really seeing the families, seeing the rail fans, seeing people that are interested in history. I mean, you see people from all different parts of life.
Well, you mentioned rail fans, and I'm up on your website. Anybody can go up, borail.org is the way to get all the information. The phone number, 410-752-2490. Obviously, we're going to get life back to order and opened up again. And I know your museum well enough to know that I could stay 6 feet away from most people in your museum and still see a lot of the things there. And I certainly hope we get to that point. It just jogged my memory. I'm up just seeing about the museum, and I saw Michael Gross, who was from Family Ties. You remember him, and played Stephen Keaton. Played your role, Don Mohler.
How does Alex Keaton's dad become the celebrity spokesperson for the B&O?
Well, it's fascinating to me because I was watching, I think it was a PBS show, and my wife and I were watching one of these rail, you know, it was a two-hour documentary. My wife, we were just flipping around, and we wanted to get 5 minutes away from Trump and 5 minutes away from this and that and news and sports, and we wound up sitting and watching it, and I think the amazing part is I've been in your museum, and then I see all of these other trains that still run really here in the Northeast in a lot of ways through the mountains, and I saw Michael Gross doing all of this stuff, and I thought, you said rail fans was a term you used, and I thought, that's probably to some degree what my father-in-law would be, where anywhere he would be seeking out something like this, and not to disparage your place as being the birthplace, but there are apparently lots of other places that folks go in the same way that I went to 30 ballparks in 30 days a couple years ago. People really want to explore all of this, and I think the Michael Gross intersection kind of drew me to it one day, maybe about 6 months ago. And I sat there for 2 hours and watched all of these different rails that you could get on. And my wife's like, that looks like fun, getting lunch on that car out in Cumberland. And I'm like, yeah, I could do that with you. Why wouldn't that? It sounds like fun, right?
Oh, it is. And we, you know, you would not believe some of the rail fans in the world. I mean, Rod Stewart, remember him? Huge rail fan. There are lots of people that are rail fans. And we have, when you come to the museum, you can have an opportunity to eat in a dining car if you talk to us ahead of time. That's one of the things we're going to be putting out in the future. You can ride up with the engineer and learn about what engineers do, how the locomotives run, what's the difference between yesteryear and today in running locomotives. I mean, there's lots of opportunities, and we even have a new little engine, Sweet Toot. I don't know if you heard that she came over from Domino Sugar. She went into retirement at the B&O, and we're going to bring her out in the future when it's all safe and clear for kids to ride in Sweet Toot. So
Chris, tell me about. And again, I have 7 grandchildren, and all of them go through different phases. But talk a little bit about the kids' fascination with this Thomas the Train and the friends of Thomas the Train, and what a huge attraction that is. What is it about Thomas the Train and kids?
Oh, well, kids love trains. And Thomas, do you know this is Thomas's 75th birthday? It is his anniversary year, and Thomas is popular worldwide, and children do love trains. I think it's the way they move. My son was a Thomas fan and had everything Thomas, and it literally does start it. I think they're fascinated by the movements and the structure and the whole STEM capacity. And we actually started a sensory awareness program at the B&O because besides one of the sets of kids that love trains as well, we learned our kids that have either sensory awareness issues or are on the spectrum, trains are frequently a passion because they're structured and predictable. So we, on certain days of the month, will turn off all the sound in our museum and, you know, let families in and make it comfortable for them and accessible. So that's a new thing that we've started. But I think just kids all across the board love trains. I mean, there's the romantic notions, there's the engineering, they're fun.
You know, when you say that, Chris, I sort of chuckle because one of my wife's favorite TV shows of all time, of course, is The Big Bang Theory. And when you're describing the fascination with trains, I can't help but think of its lead character, Sheldon Cooper, played by Jim Parr, and how he just, his whole dream is to put on the engineer's hat and sit up front with the engineer. And what you're telling me is that's a real thing.
It is a real thing. You can absolutely do that at the B&O. And, you know, in the future, we might even we're considering launching some engineer classes. And where you can, and if you take the class and want to actually become a volunteer engineer, some of our best engineers are volunteers. And so you can make a boyhood or girlhood fantasy become a reality as an adult.
Chris, I know you're back. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say, Nestor, one of the things that you and I talk about all of the time on Baltimore Positive, and boy, am I thinking about it right now. Chris, we say all the time to our friends in Baltimore County and Anne Arundel County and Howard County and Prince George's County and Harford County, you name it, that don't leave these museums and these arts and cultural institutions just for city residents. I mean, if you're out there now and you're listening to Baltimore Positive or you're in your car and you've got children or grandchildren, you've got to be excited about what you're hearing about the B&O, whether it's Thomas the Train Museum or the Sweet Train. What excites you most, Chris? Let's get them excited about when we reopen again. What's happening down there that really has you excited? What is it that you can't wait to do once you get the all clear?
Oh, well, once we get the all clear, we can't wait to welcome guests into the B&O. And you mentioned it earlier. We are a huge facility. You know, we have 40 acres that it's part of our campus. And our buildings are huge, high ceilings, the Baldwin Roundhouse. It's like a cathedral. I mean,
does it look like it would have in 1890 if I walk in there, you know, the old pictures of what it physically looked
yes.
like?
Basically, yes, absolutely. And we have pictures in the roundhouse that can show you the comparison. Actually, up on our social media site, we've been putting out archival pictures on the social media site every day. It's called B&O Train Talk. And that's actually a silver lining. Our social media engagement has gone up 48%. So we're quite pleased with that. But when we reopen, social distancing is no problem. Depending upon what the restrictions are on sizes, you could have 250 people at the B&O and not run into each other because it's a big, spacious. We're blessed that way. And what, you know, we are planning a grand reopening. We want to make it a party atmosphere. One of the things we're going to do is we have a Ma and Pa Buick 101 that was an inspection car that ran the tracks. And people, it's the number one thing people love to see. It is not on exhibit right now. So we are going to put it on the turntable and allow it to be on the turntable for a month for those that follow and see that exhibit. They'll love it. For folks that are new to our museum, we're going to be having in the summer a technology week where we bring all the cool new technologies and trains today. We're going to be having the sweet toot rides. I mean, we are determined to make it as fun and festive for everybody because it's like we're all getting to go outside our homes. And part of that, our staff has also been wanting to really advance the museum. We've been repainting our essential facility staff. We've been redesigning some things to create a totally new experience. So there's lots of reasons to come back down once we reopen.
And I cross well, over Lombard.
I know people out there now saying, geez, what is it? I'm really excited. I can see them. They're looking at the kids. They've got cabin fever. They're making a list of places to go when we're freed from this. What does it cost for individuals or a family to come down and spend some time at the museum?
So at the museum, it is $20 for an adult and $12 for a kid. And you can purchase a membership as well and then be able to come back at unlimited times throughout the year. And we have lots of opportunities when you're on site. So it's really a great deal. And we have free parking, and it's convenient, and it's on site.
Chris Olin is our guest. She is over at the B&O Railroad Museum. You can check them out, as my father-in-law always does. I sort of wind up in the museum once or twice or three times a year, no matter what, because there's always events going on over there, civically around town, and dinner parties, morning business events. I've been there for all sorts of things, usually well-dressed. And I cross over Scott Street, and I make that left turn, and it is like sort of going back in time to some degree, even from going across the cobblestone and going in there and checking the place out. A great, great tour. You know, Chris, your background in doing conservation and working over at the aquarium for a number of years as well, seeing what this lockdown has done, and I know running a museum and the finances of running a museum, the shutdown, and it's been devastating for every theater here, every museum, every aquarium, every science center to not have people there. We're all trying to get people engaged, and you mentioned your social's up almost 50%, and people are reaching out. They're home. They're trapped. If they were going to get in the car on a Saturday in spring and go down there, they can jump online and at least go there virtually until they can get there. But this has been a devastating thing all the way around. Give us a little, where does the money come from? Who owns it? How does it run? Because when this shutdown happens, no one's budgeted for this. And I'm sure you've had to cancel a dozen or more events already because I know how many events you had there in any given month. And you hope those folks come back in the fall or whatever. It's almost like golf courses canceling everything. Events are part of the spring for everyone. Every kids group, every wedding, everything has had to be rethought and replanned.
Well, you're exactly right. So we are a 501c3, and so we get money through admissions, basically through our gate when people purchase tickets, through catered events, through donations, and it is, the spring is our busiest time of year because this is actually when Thomas the Tank Engine would be in town. This is all of the school field trips, catered events. I mean, it's a busy period, so it does hurt, candidly. We are fortunate in that our board of directors is very committed, and they are doing a matching campaign for us right now. So my little plug will be, by April 30th, your donation can be matched if you would like to help support history. I think one of the things that keeps us really positive is the fact that the B&O has survived tragedy in the past where, in 2003, that beautiful roundhouse roof did collapse under the snow. And they really did think it might close at that time, but through the collective power of support from around the world, they reopened just 22 months later. So we have hope at the B&O. We know the B&O will live on. That's one of our new virtual exhibits, bnolivson.org, and where you can really see how the B&O connects to particularly Baltimore.
Chris, really appreciate you taking a little time out of your day and educating us. I know we're all trying to get back to what's normal and where we've been, and the museum's not there to not be visited, right? I mean, it's been built to have people come in, and I hope people flood you and flood back downtown. I mean, it's all part of our Baltimore Positive Initiative here to say I live about 9 blocks away from where you are, and it pains me to look out the window and see empty streets, but I'm also heartened by the fact that once we get this thing open, you're the kind of place people are going to want to bring their kids, bring their family, and come back to.
Well, thank you, Nestor and Don, so much. We really appreciate being highlighted in everything that you're doing, and we're right with you, Baltimore Positive, because there's a lot of positive things to do. And welcome back to the B&O when we reopen.
Don, any more questions about the choo-choo trains? Are you good?
Listen, I think it's been terrific. I can't wait to get down there. I can't wait. Yeah, I think what the only thing I would say, Chris, I think people would be surprised that when you come down there, you actually get to ride a train. I'm not sure everybody knows that.
Absolutely. Not just ride the train, but ride a train along the first mile of commercial track relayed. I mean, there's a real, you know, if you're a history buff or a preservationist, I mean, we are a national landmark. I mean, there's a real sense of place. And, you know, you can visit other rail museums around the country, and I recommend that you do. But there is only one place. It's the birthplace.
Well, you let me know when that meal car thing happens down there because, you know, my wife and I have eaten on the Amtrak before, not to disparage the Amtrak, but I'm having a feeling the meal might be better in your car over there. So I want to come over and have it.
Absolutely.
I'll put on a top hat and go old school. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. It'll be a very special treat for her. You will be the king for a day if you do that.
I got dressed up in a kimono and had high tea with her in Tokyo 4 months ago. So and walked through the streets of Tokyo. So anything is possible in the Baltimore Positive world. Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Chris Holland, the executive director over at BoRail.org, the B&O Railroad Museum, and my father-in-law's favorite place in Baltimore, one of my favorite places in Baltimore. Love going over there. We're doing visionary arts. We're doing museum industry this week. We did Reginald F. Lewis. We're going to get to the aquarium, the science center. We did Don Hutchinson at the zoo. We'll have to do Kirby Fowler at the zoo. We're getting it all together around here. Former county executive Don Moeller and I, all of it brought to you by our good friends at State Fair in Catonsville. Stop on over there. I am all about those Thai Asian wings, working that up as well as maybe probably some Old Bay wings too from State Fair. So order ahead, pick it up curbside. Also our friends at Fadley's. Going to anger Don next week when I get the crab cakes and the mac and cheese on the air and start eating it right here on the camera, get him all worked up. But you can ship those crab cakes anywhere at Fadley's. Find them on the web, click a button, and whomever your friend, relative, loved one out of town is, when they get the box, you know, outside, you say, hey, I sent you some Fadley's. They're going to be like, whoa, you love me. Must be springtime in Baltimore for sure. And our friends at Moeller & Gary Realty, Jeff Moeller spent a really solid 45 minutes doing an episode up in the buyatoyota.com audio vault at WNST, talking about life and kids and realty, and certainly in this time of COVID. Still selling houses, still showing houses. Moeller & Gary Realty, also our sponsors here. We are covering all the bases with Arts Week. We have certainly done a whole lot on Attorney Generals with Brian Frosch as well as Scott Schellenberger. You're going to be hearing from all the mayor candidates coming up 2 weeks from now and all the university presidents next week as we've done arts, entertainment, and serious stuff. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're keeping calm. We're staying local, about 9 blocks that way, and Baltimore Positive.